Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our lives. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
God bless you. Tonight, my assignment is simple. My job tonight is to trust the Lord, to set the hearts of men on fire, and to also trust the Lord to stretch his hand and touch somebody and change the story and destiny of someone for good and for glory. If you believe you are the one I'm talking about tonight, your amen will be louder. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. Let's look at 1 Chronicles 21 from verse 1. I'm just going to be sharing very briefly tonight. By the grace of God, tomorrow morning we'll have a revival service and it will be explosive. The Bible said, "Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel." Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. There are two things I will show you from this scripture as we begin our journey from here tonight. The assignment of the devil is to ensure that we don't fulfill our prophetic destiny in God. Because the devil knows that in God's sovereignty, in God's wisdom, and in God's magnanimity, he has created a destiny for us that eyes have not seen, that ears have not heard, neither has entered the hearts of men. What God has planned for you and I, it will take the grace of God to exhaust it and to realize it in one lifetime. I know your condition may not look like a man blessed. I know your condition may not look like someone who has any enviable destiny. If the Lord opens your eyes to see what he has planned for you, the truth is, as the Bible puts it in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, you will realize, as touching your destiny, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has he entered the heart of men. Brothers and sisters, I submit to you that God is good. And the goodness of God is not just that God wants the best for you. The goodness of God is such that he has the capacity to produce the best for you. It's one thing to desire the best for you, But it's another thing not just to desire, but to have the ability to give you the best. God is good because He does not just desire the best for us. He has the capacity to provoke and to produce the best for us. That's why the Bible says, eyes have not seen it. Anything you have seen happen before is nothing compared to what will happen. And I wish you took time to study the Bible to see what has happened before. In this world, God has blessed one man to a level that a whole nation envied him. The Bible said God blessed Isaac, and Isaac began to work strong, and he continued, and he became exceeding great, and the Philistines envied him. One man have become so great. This is a man looking for food. He wanted to run to Egypt. God said, stay still in Gerar. In this land, I will bless you. And God blessed the man who is looking for daily bread. And the man became so great until a nation is envying him. It's possible for you to become so big that you are bigger than the country you are living in. And all of that is what has happened before. The question is, how do you now compare that to what has not yet happened? If we have seen what God has done for Isaac, then what is it that God has in store for you? What is it that God wants to do for you? I prophesy to someone, before this month is over, something will happen in your life that even your enemy will be wowed. You know what the psalmist said? He said, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Not 1 year, not one season, not 1 month. He said, all the days of my life. So it's possible to be blessed every day. It's possible to increase every day. Did you not read your Bible? The Bible said daily, the church increased daily. Not 1 day, not 1 week. Every day they kept increasing, because the path of the just man is as a shining light, and it shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. This is the plan God has for us. And when you read this scripture, you are going to see how the devil works. Why do you think it was a crime for Israel to be numbered? Because the blessing of Israel is tied to a mystery. And one of the things that works that mystery is that God blessed them and said, as the stars of heaven cannot be numbered, it says, so also shall thy descendants be innumerable. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. So the day you number Israel, you have reduced the potential of Israel. The day you number Israel, you have reduced the blessing of Israel. The day you number Israel, you have reduced the capacity of Israel. Because the power of Israel is a mystery. So the devil wanted to reduce the potential of Israel, and he went for the ordinance of God. God said, you are innumerable. Go and number yourself. Because I know the only way I can stop your blessing is to make you violate God. And the way you violate God is by doing what He says not to do. Imagine for a second, Israel is going to war. The enemy bring bows, they bring arrow, they carry stone, and they win. How can a man carrying stones fight a man carrying bow and arrow? Because when one Israelite shows up, you will make a mistake calling him one. Because one can be a thousand. They say a little one shall be a thousand, and a small one shall be a great nation. So when one Israelite approaches you, that's 1,000 people. The only time you can reduce their potential is when you attach a number to them. And when the devil wanted to attack Israel, the thing he did was to make them violate God's ordinance. Is that not what most of you are doing today? God tells you, you are the head and not the tail. You wake up in the morning, you say things are not working. I am the least. God forbid. God tells you that you are going to be great. You are going to be mighty. You are going to be excellent, because you don't have food to eat. You wake up and you number and reduce what God has told you. This is what the devil did to Israel. The moment Israel was numbered,
the capacity of Israel was reduced. So the anger of God was kindled.
Why am I reading this scripture? It's because one assignment of the devil is to reduce your potential. Most of you sitting here listening to me, some of you are supposed to borrow to nations, but you have violated the ordinance of God. The devil came and manipulated you and told you to do something that God says not to do. If this thing is not about, Lord, I'm sorry. No, it's about reducing your capacity in the realm of God. The devil understands this because he's a captain of opposing the agenda of God. God looks at a young lady. He says, your voice shall thunder over the nation. I will make you a blessing in your generation. The moment she's 21, she comes under pressure of immorality. And then she thinks that it's just about sexual pleasure. She doesn't know that when ordinances are violated, destiny is altered. When ordinances are violated, prophetic destiny is destroyed. And that is the assignment of the devil. The devil stood against Israel and caused the king to number Israel. How many ordinances have we violated? And every day we are crying, Lord, help me. And God is saying, no, I'm not supposed to help you. You are the help of your generation. You are the answer to your generation. Your job is not to beg for answer. I created you as an answer to your generation. But you didn't know that there is an agenda in darkness. The devil is out to destroy man. And so Jesus said in John chapter 10 verse 10, he said, the devil cometh not, but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I am come. The story does not end with the devil. He may start, but another one is coming. This is why prayer storm 2024 has come. Because you have lost something, he said, but I am come. Because you have lost a destiny, he said, but I have come. Because you have lost righteousness, he said, but I have come. Because you have lost money, he said, but I have come. Because you have lost business, he said, but I have come. I prophesy over someone. Everything you have lost, you will regain tonight. Can I surprise you? The devil is fighting men. The devil is fighting systems. And the devil is fighting nations. There are many battles designed to reduce your potential that may not even be directly targeted to you. Now, thousands of people died. Over 30,000. Most of them didn't even know what was happening. Because the leader of the nation made a mistake. And over thousands died. So when the devil is fighting, he is fighting individuals. He is fighting systems that men belong to. And he's also fighting nations that men are within. But you see, there is an escape route for every individual. The reason for this meeting tonight is to show you the path of escape. So that you can lay hold on it. And then whatever the devil is doing, as far as your life is concerned, it becomes inconsequential. But it's important for you to know first that life is not a coincidence. One of the deceptions of this age is the fact that men think life is a coincidence. Death does not happen. Death is a person. A spirit powers its operation. Poverty does not happen. Poverty is a prince. A spirit powers its operation. Wickedness does not happen. Wickedness is a spirit. You must understand that nothing is a coincidence. If you think it's a coincidence, you will not prepare yourself for battle. You will not prepare yourself for victory. The reason many people succumb and become victims is because they think life happened. They think events are a coincidence. Nothing is a coincidence. Everything you see happening is a deliberate orchestration from the realm of the spirit. Either it is mastered by God or it is mastered by the devil. And what you must know is that if it is the devil, it will steal from you. It will kill you and it will destroy you. And if you don't want to be a victim, there is one way out.
The way out is to cleave to God and to cleave to God passionately. Is to hold on to God and to hold on to God passionately. You know, when we are talking about fire, being on fire, being awoken, some people think we are talking religious fanatism. Some people think we just want them to become part of a church and be praying in tongues and shouting. Oh God, this thing is not church. Oh. It's about your victory. It's about your glorious destiny. There is war in the heavens. There is war in the spirit. And those who will be casualties are those who are not standing on any side. If you are standing with the devil, stand with the devil. But if you want to stand with God, you must stand with God as the only solution for your life. Otherwise, you will be a victim of him that have come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Men are wasting every day because they are not aware that there is war in the spirit. Daniel went to pray because he thought they were in Babylon because Nebuchadnezzar was obsessed about expanding his kingdom. And then he found the prophetic document written by Jeremiah. And Jeremiah captured that this bondage was a judgment. But the impact of this judgment was to last for 70 years. That was when Daniel understood why they were captured. And then when Daniel started praying, Daniel had a shock. Suddenly, on the 21st day, an angelic prince appeared and said, "Oh, Daniel, greatly beloved of God." He said, "From the day you started praying, I was sent to bring you answer." He said, "But the prince of Persia withstood me." "Who is prince of Persia? What are you talking about?" He said, "For 21 days, he stopped me from bringing answer to you until Michael was mobilized." You don't know there is a prince over Port Harcourt. You think Port Harcourt is a city where buying and selling take place? You don't know there's a prince over this territory. Why do you think you were on fire when you were in Lagos, when you came into Port Harcourt? After 2 months, you fell into immorality. You don't know that there are gatekeepers over territories. Nothing happens by coincidence. Everything happening is a program written by spirit. He said, "The prince of Persia withstood me." And he said, "When I depart from you," Daniel 10, verse 20 and 21, he said, "The prince of Grecia will come." So even the names that are given to nations are not coincidences. They represent princes in the spirit. I'm showing you this tonight so that when you make your mind to hold on to God, it will be beyond church. I thank God that this platform is an interdenominational platform. This is not church. This is Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I want to bond for you every day of my life so that I am not a victim of ignorance. The devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Let me show you 4 ways the devil attacks men. Number 1 is by ignorance. I'm taking you on a journey tonight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul said, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world..." Imagine that this whole world, there is a demonic prince who is addressed as the God. You go to Facebook, you say, it's a social platform. I am making friends, I'm becoming popular. And you don't know where pressure comes on your soul, that you too will dress naked so that you will have likes. You think it's about likes? You don't know where all of a sudden you become malicious because you want to make dollars from YouTube. And you can destroy the destiny of somebody to make money. All of those things were not there. You don't know when you come under pressure because you were on Instagram and you saw your friend bought a car and the demon is flashing it. Imagine, Matt has bought a car. You are still here. You have not bought a car. Is your life going anywhere? And suddenly depression comes and somebody commits suicide because it's on Instagram. Because you don't know that there is a God of this world. Every platform, they enter there and they are looking for souls. But many are ignorant. No matter how you shout, they will tell you, "Forget all these church people." You know the problem? If you don't know it in time, you will know it in eternity. Ignorance stops the day you leave your body. The moment you come out of your body, all of us will know as we are known. Preaching will stop the day you come out of your body. Because the moment you leave your body, the realm becomes open to you. You will know the truth immediately. The problem is that at that point, the truth can't set you free. At that point, your destiny has been decided. This is why we cry on the altar before we preach. Preaching is not about intelligent message. Preaching is not about a deep message. It's about conviction in the heart of men so that the veil is removed and they see the truth of God's word and they follow Jesus. The first way the devil attacks men is through ignorance. In our world today, the moment you talk about God, you become an object of attack. Somebody was talking recently. He said, even in primary school, they tell people to dress well and wear uniform. No argument. On every job, from bank to the army, they tell people to dress well and wear uniform. No problem. Even in prison, they tell prisoners to dress well. But when you come to church and you say dress well, it becomes a war. Because anything that is God, the devil is against it. And then you see debate everywhere. What does it mean? Is God concerned about my body? Yes, sir. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God is concerned about your body. You don't know that the way you appear reflects the character of a spirit? Why are madmen dressing dirty? Because there is a spirit that is responsible for lunaticism. It's called an unclean spirit. So the moment that spirit possesses them, if you bet them, they will still go back to death. Because your physical appearance is inspired by the spirit that dominates your mind. So when you find people who want to appear naked and seductive, they are slaves of a demonic spirit. But they will never accept because the mind is blinded. And when you tell them what will save them, they don't care. And through some people's appearance, their destiny has been taken away from them. Some ladies have been raped because of indecent dressing. Some men have been accused to be murderers, arrested and killed because of the way they appeared where they were seen. And so a glorious destiny cut off because of simple manipulation. And they don't know the eyes of their understanding is darkened. The first way the devil attacks men to steal their destiny is by blinding their eyes. That's why they can never see anything good in prayer. You are begging people to pray. This crusade, thank God people came like this. Meanwhile, if a worldly musician comes here, they will pay at the gate, but there will be no space in this field. People will pay to come and sing nonsense. Pay! Before this program, 1 month ago, there will be no seat. Every seat would have been bought. They go to stadium, 30,000, 50,000, ticket finishes, 1 month of program. And when you go to that meeting, you will think you will find worldly people. You will see Martha there. You will see James. You will see John. John is buying tickets to go and watch nonsense that does not impact his destiny. But when there is a prayer meeting, you will have to preach or do a series on prayer before John comes to pray for 30 minutes. And if that prayer exceeds 30 minutes, John will say, "Omo, this thing no easy, Wabek. That's much more." And John will leave because the eyes are blinded. He cannot see the things that will shape his destiny. He cannot see the things that will affect his eternity. A demon is at work. The second way the devil attacks men, women, and system is through sicknesses and afflictions. I wish I had time to open Ephesians 6 from verse 10 to verse 18. Paul said, having done all to stand, he said, stand therefore. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. When the devil wants to take over somebody's life,
or the influence over a system or a nation, there is an organized protocol. Principalities come first. The job of principalities is to identify the graces that are present and to steal them through deception. So when a principality comes here, for example, he will look for those who are prophetic. He knows that those who are prophetic, they are sensitive, more sensitive than others. And so what he will do is that he will advertise lust to them. If a naked is passing here, it's a prophetic brother that will notice her first. Because the emotion is high, the sensitivity is high. And because of that perception, the job of the principality is to create a spiritual demography and separate men into quadrants. When it is done, a power shows up. The job of a power is to create an addiction. And so the guy looks at a naked person. Tomorrow, he looks again. Next tomorrow, he downloads pornography. He thinks, it's something he will do and stop. After 1 month, he wants to stop. He can't again. The guy gathers, people are smoking. He said, let me test. He smokes. He thinks 1 week later, he will stop. After 2 weeks, he wants to try. He can't stop again. The principality orchestrated him to go to where they are smoking. A power puts an addiction on him. Before that guy stops smoking, another power will have to come. Because now he's a prisoner of war. A demon has shown up. And then when a principality is done, then the rulers of the darkness come. The word rulers of darkness is cosmos kratos. They are magistrates. Their duty is to make addictions become culture. And so what you are doing and your thought is an addiction. A point will come, it will transfer to your bloodline. You will give birth to your child. You thought you were cheating on your wife and you were being smart. Your child too will begin to do it. Your great-grandchild will begin to do it. And you are wondering, how did this thing transfer? When you were doing it, your DNA was being altered. That's a ruler working. He turns it to a culture. And then you come to one family, they are womanizers. Come to another family, they are criminals. Come to another family, the devil is taking over a territory. And then when they are done, then spiritual wickedness comes. Now that you cannot come out, the spiritual wickedness now begins to give you gifts. The gift of the devil is sickness, is death, is poverty, is pain. Because now you have become an agent. So you are entitled to your wages. And the wages the devil has to give you is death, is sickness, is poverty. So you find one lineage, there is poverty for 10 years. You find another lineage, there is madness for 50 years. You find another lineage, there is cancer for 35 years. And you are wondering, why are these sicknesses identifying this family? They have followed the demonic program from principality to power to ruler of darkness to spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That's how the devil works and introduces sicknesses to people. You find young men at 28, they say he has high blood pressure and die. And you are wondering, what does a 28-year-old man got to do with high blood pressure? You find a young lady at 32, they say she has cardiac arrest, she has died. Sickness has been gifted to that bloodline. I'm telling you why you must be on fire. Because some of you, your being on fire will be the deliverance for the next generation. Because there is something the devil has programmed on the rich view. And you now say, from here, there will be a new law. From here, there will be a new commandment. From here, there will be a change. There will be a change. In my own family, death was normal. After 3 years, somebody must die. After 3 years, somebody must die. And it was a pattern until I showed up. And I said, from me, it will change from death to life. It will change from poverty to prosperity. Until me, you hardly find millionaires in my family. Hardly. Intelligent, hardworking, but poor. Until I showed up, I said, from here, poverty has ended. And we are not just ordinary millionaires. We are millionaires in many figures. Many figures. And we will be millionaires in different currencies. It's not a blessing to be a millionaire in Naira. We will be millionaires in dollars. In your own currency, we can affect impact there. And then, you are not just a millionaire. Through you, many, many begin to rise. Because you are changing the money program.
You are changing it. The devil came with death to afflict people. That's what the devil does. I'm showing you this so that when we start praying, you will be brutal. See, there are some families where nobody will marry until a priest rises. There are some families where nobody will prosper until a priestess rises. And so for 2 years, every night, there's a fire burning on your inside. And you are alone, Micaiah. And they think you are wasting your time. No, you are changing programs. You are changing utterances. You are changing patterns. You are changing prophecy. When 2 years is over, then the lines begin to fall in pleasant places. Then godly heritage begins to appear. When 2 years is over, then health begins to blossom. Because you went to the spirit and you changed the language. You changed the program. Hear me. You will not live here tonight until you catch fire. It's not just because of you. Many families depend on you. Many destinies depend on you. That's why you must be on fire. Some of us, if we become lukewarm today, many people in their hundreds can no longer go to school. When a term begins, you are sending monies to many families. Some of us, if we go down today, many families will have no food to eat. Some of us, if we go down today, death will ravage many families. But when they come, our priesthood is standing. And death can't find any way until we become many. I decree over you, that thing taking your fire will leave you tonight. Ignorance, sickness, and then the third way is through sin and iniquity. Sin and iniquity. It says righteousness exalts a nation. It says, but sin is a reproach. The Bible said, flee from sexual lust that war against your soul. Every time the devil sell sin to you and you make a practice of sin, you have bargained your destiny. You have bargained your possibilities. Because sin is a transaction in the spirit. God created a man, put him in the garden. Everything he needed was there. The devil came with one language: to sin against God, rebel against God. That's all. And when the man rebelled against God, he lost everything God gave him. I don't have time to show you what God gave man. God gave man his presence. The Bible said, daily in the cool of the day, the voice of God came walking in the garden. God gave man his nature. Let us make man in our own image. God gave man his righteous character in our own likeness. God gave man his life. He planted the tree of life in the garden, Genesis 2:9. And God gave man his authority, Genesis 1:28. Let them have dominion. In addition to the garden, God gave him 5 things. His presence, his nature, his righteous character, his life, and his authority. One transaction of sin, the man lost all. You are the one who thinks sin is fun. Sin is a bargain. Sin is a language of transaction in the spirit. Every time you sin, you lose something. And the devil has fed generation with iniquity. In Matthew 24, verse 12, it said, because iniquity shall abound, it said, the love of many shall wax cold. Many are lukewarm because iniquity shall abound. The other day, I carried my writing tab. I was jotting. Just because my data was on, a naked woman popped up. I said, what business has a naked person got to do with my writing tab? The writing tablet, the writing pad, It's not even supposed to be a video material. How did this picture come here? Because the devil is forcing sin down the throat of a generation. But a generation must rise that says no to iniquity. They say, come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. They that bear the vessels of God, they must be holy. He said, in the great house, there are many vessels. Some of gold, some of silver, some of wood, some of hay. He said, if a man purges himself, he said, then that man, not everybody, that man will qualify for the master's use. The devil knows what to do. He will sell sin to a generation and we bargain it, receive it, and practice it. And so you find a man who is supposed to be a ruler is a beggar. He said, I have seen an abomination under the sun. He said, rulers, kings, princes are trekking. Why demons who have no authority in this space, who should be beggars? He said, they are riding on horses. So demons are controlling men when men should be casting out demons. All because of iniquity. And finally, the weapon of the devil is wickedness. There are some people who have been forced into debt, forced into bondage, forced into sickness, forced into sin by other wicked people. Not everybody who is prostituting is doing it because she wants it. Not everybody who is a criminal is stealing because he wants it. Some people through wickedness have created a program that has forced others to get into those things. Please sit down for a moment. Wickedness. The devil darkens the heart of men and turns men to his instrument of perpetrating wickedness. And on account of their wickedness, many have become liars. Many have become fornicators. Many have become armed robbers. Many have become murderers. And so, we are in a world riddled with darkness. The Bible said, arise, shine. It said, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Why? It said, because darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. So the people of the earth, and earth itself, is in darkness. This is why every one of us needs a Savior. Because the only one who operates above darkness, the one that came down from heaven. And so the first thing that engenders fire is to have a vital relationship with the Savior. There are many things that can teach you about awakening. But tonight is my first night. The elementary of being on fire is to have a relationship with the Savior. And there are three things that initiate a relationship with the Savior. Number one is to believe in Him. As many as believed on His name, He said, they shall be saved. You cannot be saved from alcoholism by resolution and willpower. Many people, January 1st, they do a long list. This year I won't smoke. This year I won't womanize. You don't know the nature of sin, and you don't know the power of flesh. Most of you who did those things, I know that by now you have broken all of them, because I was there. Many years ago, 31st December, I wrote a lot of resolutions. On the 1st of January, before 12, I broke three. I now knew that this thing is beyond willpower. Every man standing is helped of God. If you are not helped, you will fall. The Bible said, it is the spirit that quickens. It said, the flesh profited nothing. If you want to be on fire, you must have a relationship with God. And what triggers a relationship with God is to believe Him. That's where it starts from. The woman with the issue of blood said that she heard. She heard about Him. The devil had afflicted her with sickness. Terrible sickness. She tried everything she knew how to do. The Bible says she spent all her money because she had money. And she was not any better. But she heard about the Master. That this man doesn't even need money from you. All you need is to believe. And the Bible said she said to herself, he doesn't need to talk to me. If I only but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She knew something. She heard something. And faith was kindled in her spirit. And she didn't go looking for attention. The Bible said she came behind the press and touched the tip of Jesus' garment. And Jesus was not even aware. But her faith had provoked something. See, God doesn't need to know you are here. Your faith will announce you. Jesus turned and said, who touched me? Peter was shocked. Who touched you? Everybody is touching you, sir. They are not only touching you, they are thronging you on every side. He said, no, this is a different touch. This is not a physical touch. This is a faith touch. He said, for virtue has gone out of me. And when he turned, the woman came trembling and he said, daughter, relationship was activated. She was no longer a stranger. Rise up, that faith has made thee whole. And immediately the woman left and became another person. If you don't believe, you can never have a relationship with the Father. And if you don't have a relationship, you can never be on fire. In Romans chapter 10 verse 10, it says, if you believe with your heart. Listen, some of us have gone to church for 20 years, so we think we believe. We think we have faith. The proof that you believe is not the church you attend. It's the result your life commands. The moment you believe, there will be answer. The moment you believe, there will be evidence. And so if there is no evidence, it means you have not believed correctly. Or you have not even believed at all. What do you believe? Amongst other things, is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Is to believe that he died for your sins. And it's to believe that he rose from the dead for your justification. Now, that belief is not a theological belief. The implication of that belief is that the day you accept that, if you are going through any challenge, your first point of call will be Jesus. Because now you believe that he died so that all the devil has done in your life will stop. Now you believe that he rose from the dead, so that everything that is of God will manifest in your life. So if you see anything in your life that does not resemble God, you say, Jesus, you are my all now. You are my answer now. But see a generation, we say we believe, but the moment we have headache, we run to doctor. There's nothing wrong in working with the doctor. Don't get me wrong. Even medicine came from God. But they never talk to God about anything. They talk to men. The moment there's a challenge, they call their friends. Ha, Omo, I don't know. This business is not working. It's not working. They keep talking to people and affirming what is happening to them. They will never talk to God or affirm what God has said. That is the sign that they don't believe. The Bible says, why men are cast down? It says, you say. That's the proof that you believe. There is a lifting up. Your confession is what shows us what you believe. Your action is what shows us what you believe. And many times, our action betray what we claim to believe. When you heard a bad news, what was the first thing you said? Did you talk to God? Did you affirm God's position? That's the proof that you have believed. If I wake up today and I see a boil on my chest, before I do anything, I will say he was wounded for my transgression. I won't deny that there's a boy there. But I know what God said. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. By his stripes, I am healed. That's the first thing I will say. Before the Holy Ghost inspires me to do anything. It's a sign that you believe. If they tell you today that your boss said you are finished, what will you do? You will start calling other bosses. I don't know what I did. They say your guy is angry. Please help me. Can somebody talk to him? Can somebody? No. That's not wrong. But that's not the first thing to do. They tell you, your boss says you are finished. You say, no, we don't finish. The path of the just man is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Your boss says you are finished. You say, no, we are not finished.
the Bible says, why men are cast down, we say there's a lifting up. They say, your boss say you are finished. You say, no, we are not finished. Although the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. They say, your boss say you are finished. You say, no, the Bible says, gather together, you will scatter. Take counsel together, it shall not stand. Speak a word, it shall not stand. For our God is in our midst. They say, your boss say you are finished. You say, no, there shall be no enchantment against Jacob. There shall be no divination against Israel. For the shout of the king is in the midst of them. Your boss say you are finished. You say, no, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Your boss say you are finished. You say, no, he said we are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill that cannot be healed. We don't know how to finish. Your boss say you are finished. You say, no, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion that appeared before the Lord. Your boss say you are finished. You say, no, the Bible said times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Your boss say you are finished. You say, no, we don't finish. We only go forward. We only go upward because we shine in a dark world. That's the heritage of the saints. You know what the Bible says? It said, every tongue that rises against you, be it your enemy, be it your boss, be it your friend, every tongue that rises against you, it said, in judgment, thou, it didn't say God, it said, thou shall condemn. It said, if there be any mountain before you, don't talk to God about it. Storm to the mountain and say, mountain, in the name of Jesus, be cast away. And he said, if you do not doubt in your heart, you will have whatsoever you say. That's the proof that you believe. Sir, I beg you, make up your mind to know what God said about you and believe it. Your story will change. The Bible says, woe unto him that puts his trust in the arm of flesh. The ministry we are doing here today, God raises men to give, but we never trust men. Every time there is a need, we go to God. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My riches come from his glory, not from people's account. Did you not read about David? A king, a warrior. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say, no, I have a great army. No, it's not about men. It's about faith in God. That's how relationship begins. And when you do that, sometimes nothing will happen until the fire is kindled, until you are thrown into the fire. And when you are going into the fire, it looks as if, oh, all hope is lost. No way. If God comes before the fire, they will say it's a coincidence. It's inside the fire that he will meet you. So that nobody will mistake it for a coincidence. They arrested Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were carrying them to the fire. God did nothing. The king said, make the fire 7 times hotter. God did nothing. They brought them close to the fire. God did nothing. They were looking into heaven. Won't the angel come again? Nothing happened. When they threw them to the fire was intelligent enough to burn the rope, not their skin. And while they were in the fire, it was the king that recognized. I said, wait, is it not 3 men we threw there? I'm seeing a 4th man in the fire. And the king went ahead to say, this 4th man looks like the son of God. I prophesy over you. Suddenly the son of God will appear in your life. Your business is failing. God is my defense. People are laughing. People are mocking. God is my defense. When they think it's over, suddenly the 4th man will appear. Nobody will mistake it for a coincidence. And when they are now looking for God, they will say, the God of matter, the God of something, the God of Michael, the God of Gideon. Because now you have personalized God. That's how you build relationship. You build relationship by trusting in God. Somebody's affliction will leave this night. That cancer has been there for 20 years. You will be shocked how it will disappear this night. Not tomorrow. I believe in the God of process, but I also believe in the God of now. He said, now faith is. Faith is not tomorrow. Now. He said, our light afflictions are but for a moment. If he exceed a moment, there's the problem. I believe in the now. And hear me, brothers and sisters, your answer will come now. But the question is, will you dare to believe? Jesus said, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. The key to seeing the glory is to believe. Trust me, what your circumstance told you is a lie. What men told you is a lie. Do you know the story of Rahab? Everybody called her a prostitute. That's not what God called her. When they were calling her a prostitute on earth, God was looking at the lineage of Jesus. She is one of the mothers of Christ. How did a prostitute make it into the genealogy of Jesus? It's supposed to be the most holy genealogy. Because don't call that which is unclean what God has made clean. They called you poor? No. They said you will lend to many nations and you will not borrow. They called you sinner? No. They called you a saint. They called you the righteousness of God. They called you a waste? No. He called you the answer of your generation. A city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. And tonight, you are everything God calls you. Sit down for a moment. See, if you know this, on your own in your room, you'll be dancing. See, when a prophet comes, when an apostle comes, it's an added advantage. But can I surprise you? The Holy Ghost and the Word is enough for you to fulfill a glorious destiny. God sent prophets and apostles and pastors and teachers and evangelists to help equip you. It's an added advantage. If you will pay attention to the Holy Ghost and study the Word, you will be shocked. He said, who is it that overcomes the Word? And then you ask yourself, what? Can one man overcome the Word? Yes. You think the world is bigger than you? He said, I have put eternity in your heart. The whole of eternity is in your heart. You are bigger than the world. Who is it that overcomes the world? When you read some scriptures, the question will blow you off. Is it possible for me to overcome the world? I'm still in Abuja. I don't think I can overcome Abuja. What are you saying, Lord? He said, it is him that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Wow! So if I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, I have overcome the world. I jump up in my room. I say, I have overcome the world. I have subdued Abuja. I have subdued Nigeria. I have subdued Africa. And like joke, you will see suddenly your influence begin to grow. Your influence begins to grow. After a while, you become bigger than your city. After a while, your influence spread to your country. It spread to your continent. And it's just growing. Not because you are doing any magic, but because you found the key. Who is it that overcometh the world? Him that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. It's a key. And you pick that key, you put in your wallet. You are studying again. You are studying again. And you stumble on another one. And they said, you are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill that cannot be healed. Wait, am I a city? I thought all I am is my 4-bedroom apartment. What are you saying, Lord? No, you are bigger than a 4-bedroom apartment. You are a city. And then you stand up. You say, Port Harcourt, you are too small. I'm bigger than you. And before you know what's happening, your capacity begins to enlarge. Your capacity. That's what God does. But the key is to believe. This is why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:13, he said, according as it is written, they believe and have spoken. He said, we having the same spirit of faith, believe and therefore speak. I was reading my Bible the other day. And the Bible said, if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he said, he will quicken your mortal body. I said, wait, will I pray before he quickens? There's no prayer there. Will I fast before he quickens? There's no fasting. He said, if that spirit, I now checked, what is the proof that that spirit is in you? He said, if you have not the spirit of Christ, you are none of him. So if I belong to Christ, it means the spirit is already in me. And if the spirit is in me, it means my mortal body is quickened. I told my body, you are going to be here till I'm 90 years old. My eyes will not be weak. No cancer is coming out anywhere. No part of my body will be sick. Because now I know I don't have to pray to be healthy. If that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in me, I began to celebrate. I am healthy. I am strong. I am mighty. And it's from glory to glory. If I tell you my schedule, you will shout. But I don't know when last I took paracetamol. Because I have something stronger than paracetamol. If that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the Holy Ghost is in me. And it's not in me because I'm an apostle. It's in everyone that is born of God. This is why faith is a must. He said, the just shall live by faith. You want to be on fire? Your faith must come alive. And how does your faith come alive? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. The things you are hearing tonight is already charging you up. Somebody was here, they deceived you that because of the family you came from, you will never be great. It's a lie. I came from God the Father. I came from God the Son. I came from God the Holy Ghost. That's my lineage. Because on the cross I died. I was buried with Christ and I rose again. I come from the family of the Godhead. Nothing on earth can stop me. He said, whoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith sets you on fire. Sometimes I go and read the story of the generals. Somebody was telling me recently about the testimony of Pastor W. Ekumuyi in a believers' conference, 1993. God's servant showed up, and when he was done preaching, people sat down and said, today, I will not make the declaration. Everybody who is sick, come out here. I want you to see miracles with your eyes. Ah, what if it doesn't happen? There's no, it doesn't happen in faith. It must happen and always happen. And the first person he walked to had a hunchback. And the man didn't say, wait, let's begin with pain. No, the bigger, the better. And he approached the man with hunchback. In the name of Jesus, before he finished, hunchback disappeared. You think they just came? They came by power. The devil saw that these ones have faith that move mountains. And it's not because they are apostles. It's because they believe in Jesus. Tonight, some of you, your faith is not intact. We will doctor it here. You will go back and say, Jesus, I thought this thing was about church. Today I know better. It has nothing to do with church. I'm going to believe you doggedly. And like Esther, I would rather believe you and perish than succeed without believing you. If I perish, I perish. That's the level of faith somebody will enter tonight. I'm tired of reading testimonies in the Bible. I'm tired of hearing from Apostle A and Apostle B. Paul said, if that same spirit of faith is in you, he said, we believe and have spoken. He said, they believe and have spoken. He said, we, having the same spirit of faith. What you said about Peter, you must do in my own life too. That's when fire begins. And if you come to that point of doggedness, if it happened with A, it must happen with me. Something will break out of your spirit. He said, he sent his word to Jacob, a lighting upon Israel. In Romans 15 verse 4, he said, the things that were written aforetime, they were written for your learning, so that you, having patience and comfort of the scripture, you too might have hope. He didn't tell us what happened with, so that we'll know God was faithful to Peter. He told us what happened with Peter, so that we too will know that it can happen with us. And tonight you are not living here until it happens with you. That's Christianity. Christianity is not a religion. It's divinity expressed through humanity. Every one of us is a vessel through which God wants to manifest himself. And you'll be the first to manifest God tonight. I say you'll be the first to manifest God tonight. If I'm talking to you, shout hallelujah! I'm out of time. I wanted to show you the second part
The second way of building relationship with God is to call upon Him. Make it a habit. It says, they that call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13, they shall be saved. When you call upon the name of the Lord, you personalize the power of God. The power of God is everywhere. The presence of God is everywhere. But it becomes your possession when you call upon the name of the Lord. Many Christians are calling upon governments. They are calling upon men. They are not calling upon God. That's their problem. In Mark 10:46-48, the guy was blind for many years. They now identify him by his infirmity. Blind Bartimaeus. I don't think your own challenge has lasted that long. And I don't think your own challenge has gone that viral. The guy was known in the whole city as blind. And blind substituted Timaeus as his surname. Blind Bartimaeus. His name was Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. But they forgot Timaeus. They turned it to blind Bartimaeus. And the Bible said they heard that Jesus was passing by. Jesus didn't come for him. He was not in Jesus' calendar. He was not in Jesus' program. You know what it means? God doesn't need to come for you to encounter God. If you know what to do. Jesus didn't come for him. He wasn't part of his program. But the man heard Jesus is passing. And the Bible said he began to shout, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. The people around say, shut up. When you see that kind of person, you think he cares about you? You think you like this will be in his program? Even if you are in his program, will he stop because of you? Yes, he can stop. The move of God can stop because of one man. If he places a demand. No, when Jesus is moving, that's the move of God. One man stopped him. And Jesus turned and said, bring him. What do you want? That's a blank check. He said that I might see again. Is that all? God knows that if I was him, that would not be all. That would be the least. What do you want? That I might see again. Go, thy faith has made thee whole. Eyes popped open. So if he didn't come, God would have passed. There are many people that God is passing every day, but they don't know how to call. That's why those who are champions in life, they are masters in calling God. Lord, have mercy. Lord, help me. Lord, intervene. Lord, shine forth. Lord, stretch your hand. Every time you call, salvation is by the corner. I'm telling you. Some people are ashamed of calling God. They can call their friends. But when you say, call on the Lord, they become big boys. They put their hand on their chest and they say, Lord, no, help me. You are not serious. When you are serious, you will call desperately. You will call as though that's the last opportunity you have. And when you do that, your desperation will touch heaven. And you can stop the move of God because of you. God can come to only one man. See, don't make the mistake of thinking God shows up because we are many. We can be many and not touch God. And we can be one, yet stop God. It depends on the faith and the desperation with which we call him. God can boycott the whole of this crowd and go and meet somebody on the other side of the road who is calling him with desperation. If we think our number is a factor, it means nothing. The whole earth perished. Only Noah and his family were saved. You have a challenge. It has lasted for 2 months. You are still casual. Many have died like that. No, not me. In the name of Jesus, you devil, you die today. In the name of Jesus, this affliction, you live today. You must live today or today. It cannot exceed today. And then you get aggressive. And as you are doing it, the devil doesn't have enough resources to waste on one man. He will say, this one has made up his mind. Let's better leave him alone. And he will pack and go. And if he doesn't, God will show up. The Bible said in Exodus chapter 3, when God encountered Moses, he said, I've heard the cry of my people. They called. That's why God showed up. He said, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. He said, I will answer. So when you see people who are on fire, they make a practice of engaging heaven every day. It's when men become lukewarm that they don't pray, that they don't call on God. And so prayerlessness is one of the biggest signs of pride. You think you have it all gathered together. No way. The biggest men call God more than every other person. The biggest of men. The other day I went to preach a redemption camp. They say God's servant came back from mission trip on Tuesday and went straight to his prayer room. And it was 30 Thursday to come out for service. I say, what? At this level? And you who is here who have not started, you start 10 minutes, you say, Lord, you know what we need. No, you will do it. You go away. You are joking. You will hold on to the horn of the altar and say, Lord, it must be today. Lord, it must be now. I am not going until you bless me. The Bible says Jacob wrestled with the angel from night till morning. The angel says, all right, since you will not let me go, what do you want? In Luke 18 verse 1, the Bible said there was a wicked judge who neither feared God nor feared man. He said, but this woman kept troubling him every night and every day until the king, the judge said, although I don't fear God, but your call will not end. Please give me peace. What do you want? Anybody who calls will receive answer. He said, they that call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. He said, ask, you shall receive. So if you are not receiving, it means you are not asking. If you want to start receiving, become a master of asking. It's a sign of humility. It's a sign of passion for God. And the more you do it, the more God shows himself to you. And the presence of God is what stirs fire in your life. And what's the first thing to ask God for? It's eternal life. I want relationship. When you receive eternal life, every other thing becomes a byproduct. There are most of us here. Listen, we need to get genuine with God tonight. Lord, I've been in church for 15 years. But the truth is, I don't believe in you. When I have issues, I go to what I believe in first. Lord, I know I've been in church for 20 years. But the truth is, you are not the one I call. I call my friends who are senators. I call my friends who are businessmen. They are the ones I call. But from today, I want you to be first and only. And it will be genuine. If you get to that point, what will happen to your life, even you will not believe it. After now, then you get to submission. But I'll talk about submission tomorrow. Because that's where I will talk about prayer. Because it will be a revival meeting. But tonight, I want us to experiment what we have taught. If it is true, the proof is the result that it will produce. So that somebody will leave here this night and say, listen, this thing is not about church. I can be in the market and call God and God will answer. I can be in my bedroom and call God and God will answer. That's the God I'm looking for. I'm not looking. God has moved from going to Jerusalem. All of us must not travel to Jerusalem to encounter God. Now Christ lives on our inside. God wants to become personal to everybody. We cannot revert to the old order. Coming to church is good. You are equipped. You are trained. He said, despise not the gathering of the saints together, as is the manner of some. However, over and above that, there has to be a personal relationship. I want to get to that point where, if what this man said is true, let it happen. Listen, it's in the midst of crisis that you appreciate the excellency of revelation. 2 weeks ago, one of my pastors, the wife was in labor from 3 a.m. in the morning until 4. She was almost dying because her threshold of pain was low. She couldn't bear it. They wanted to even check the enlargement of the pelvic. She couldn't let them. She was literally fainting. And they called me. I came out of a meeting tired. In the name of Jesus, I give you speed. Child, come out. And I prayed around 4 p.m. I said, I'm coming to the hospital. In my mind, I said, let me go to the hospital and encourage her. 1 hour before I reached, she was 5 p.m. She was supposed to get 10 p.m. She started dilating from 3 a.m. to 4 p.m., 5 p.m. Before I drove out to get to the hospital, within 1 hour, she had moved from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Baby came out, placenta came out. I came to meet a child. If you believe this God, he will surprise you. He said, some, before they called, I appear. While they are yet talking, I answer. That's the level he wants to take you to. But you have to begin from somewhere. Tonight, you have to make your first call. Lord, I want a genuine relationship. I want eternal life. I don't want religion. They may call me a Christian, but beyond the name Christianity, I want to be a genuine child of God, knowing like I know my name, that God is with me and I'm with God, that God is in me and I am in God. As we answer that call tonight, then we will go into miracles. If in 5 minutes God does not begin to do miracles here, everything I've told you tonight is fake. I'm not hoping that it will happen. It must happen. Because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Now, faith is. Wherever you are standing, I'm tired of religion. I'm tired of manipulation. I've done church for long, but I know I don't know God. Today, I want a personal relationship. A genuine relationship that I can bank on with my life. That's what I'm looking for. That's why I came. So that the genuine fire of heaven will come on me. If that's your prayer, wherever you are sitting, stand up and move to this front fast and encounter God genuinely. You are running from wherever you are standing. You are moving like a desperate man. Religion has made a mess of me. I'm tired. I want a relationship. I want a relationship. Wherever you are sitting, I know this thing is more than church. I want a God I can trust, and I want a God that I call and He answers. That's why I came. Come from wherever you are. You are the reason for tonight's meeting. Give me a song, choir. Talk to God. Others are still coming. Begin to talk to God. Somebody still sitting there trying to decide. This is your moment. This is your hour of salvation. You can't miss it. Wherever you are, make that decision now. Come to the front and join them. The arm of the Lord is open. He said even the hair of our head is numbered. Everyone is important to God.
Elohim Adonai.
to me.
This is the best decision of your life. If you will make up your mind tonight and say Jesus and Jesus only, you will be shocked what your life will become. If you were counting hopeless men in life, believe me, I was one of them. No hope from any man, no promise from anywhere, but Jesus showed up. Tonight, I want to tell you that Jesus is enough. He said, they looked up to him and their faces were radiant. They were not ashamed. He said, I've not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. Place your right hand on your chest as a sign of surrender. And you are going to be the first to receive tonight. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I believe in my heart that Jesus is your Son. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he was buried. And on the third day he rose again from the dead for my justification. Today, according to Scripture, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, for receiving me. In Jesus' name, I have declared. Now, place your hand on your chest and ask the Lord to touch you. You'll be the first to contact the fire now, not tomorrow, now. Ask the Lord to touch you. Everybody stand up on your feet, it's time to receive. Lift your hands toward heaven. Father, you are anointing them. You are setting them on fire now. They have obeyed the word. And so now I stretch hands over you. I release the fire of heaven. I release it now. Ushers, help me. Ushers, help me. Ushers, help me now. Help me. Help me. Help me. Carry that fire. Carry that fire. Carry that fire. Bring them here. Bring them here. Take that fire. Your name is to be hallowed. Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. Your name is to be hallowed. Adonai. Even the workers, come into structure, the power of God is coming. Carry that fire! Carry that fire! Carry that fire!
anointing
of man.
Heaven, hear me. When I was coming here tonight, God told me He was raising three categories of people. The first category of people He's raising are warriors of the kingdom. Warriors. Men that can defend the gates. Listen, there are many gates that are empty. The gate of wealth, the gate of righteousness, the gate of morality. Many gates are empty. God wants to raise gatekeepers. Warriors. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by the Spirit. Wherever you are, lift your hands. Those of you in the field, lift your hands. There are over 50 of you that will receive a fresh baptism now. Because God wants to make you a gatekeeper. Wherever you are standing, tell the Lord, baptize me with fire tonight. Pray that prayer now. Pray that prayer. Lift your hands. I don't want you to be emotional. The hand of God will start touching people from the field. Ushers, I want you to bring them to the altar. God is dedicated. It's a dedication service going on now. New voices, new kingdom functionaries. Father, wherever they are standing in the field, let there be a fresh baptism now. As it was on the days of Pentecost. Carry that fire now. Ushers, help them. Ushers, help them. Go into the field. The hand of God is coming upon them. Carry that fire now. Carry that fire now. From the
Lord, your name, your name.
Hey.
Say, ah, ah, ah.
warriors, waters, custodians, carriers of dimensions of the spirit, I call you forth by the voice of the prophet. Arise, shine. Please lift your hands toward heaven. The second category of people God is raising tonight are kingdom financiers. There is a grace that will come upon you now. It will give you wisdom for wealth, favor for wealth, the power to get wealth. Father, wherever they are standing, let that anointing rest now. The anointing for wealth creation. Wherever they are standing, ushers, help me. In the name of Jesus, catch that grace now. Catch that grace now. It is violent. It's violent. It's coming heavy. It's coming heavy. Help them. Help them. Now, it's just that remember the Lord your God. It is Him that gives the power. There is a power to get well. You came for fire. There are different dimensions of fire. And for the yoke of poverty is breaking now. Finally, please hear this. It's equipping that is going on here. The Bible said the house of God kept growing by the prophesying of Zechariah the son of Iddo. When we talk like this, it's to install dimensions in your spirit. Finally, please lift your hands toward heaven. Lift your hands toward heaven. The church has become a move of storytelling. The power of God is no more. The days of Reverend Umar Bai must come back. A new generation is rising. We are not talkers. We must demonstrate God. And tonight God said, He's anointing men to become miracle workers. Miracle workers. Wherever you are standing, if God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from Paul. Help that sister there. Miracle workers, wherever you are standing, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, to those watching online, carry that fire. Help them. Jesus, we are out of time, but hear me. Hear me. If you came here with any affliction, whatever it is, place your right hand on your head. It could be a pain, it could be a tumor, it could be an ear condition, it could be an eye condition. It doesn't matter what the devil put on you, God will remove it now. I say it doesn't matter what the devil put on you. God will remove it now. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over the spirit of infirmity. I command every spirit of sickness and disease in the name of Jesus, come out of their bodies now. If your amen is louder, you will receive it first. In the name of Jesus, come out of their bodies now. I command the yoke and the yokes of sickness break from their bodies now in the name of Jesus. Deaf ears, open. Blind eyes, see. Pains in the body, go now. Tumors in the breast, in every part of the body, I command you to dematerialize now. Arthritis in the bone, in the knee, in the ligaments, at the back, at the neck, go now. In the name of Jesus. I command organ infections from kidney to lungs to kidney to skin. In the name of Jesus, be healed now. I command blood conditions, be healed now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Go ahead and do what you couldn't do. People have already been touched. People have already been touched. Can you give me a praise song? Let's dance for 2 minutes. Just 2 minutes. I want you to dance. Dance and shame the devil. You have received your healing already. If you believe that, shout hallelujah.
I call him Ebubedike, Jehovah Jireh, Ebubedike. We call him Ebubedike, Jehovah Jireh, Ebubedike. Somebody call him Ebubedike. Somebody call him Ebubedike. 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 Ebubedike.
That's your way to your miracle now.
Aha! Yes!
Aha! Don't force them. Leave them. Don't force them. Anyone that is up can go. Somebody stop!
Aha!
Testimonies. But I want to show somebody that this thing is not hard. Jesus did the hard work. The hard work is to die on the cross. The hard work is to go to the grave. The hard work is to resurrect. Healing is the children's bread. Many of you have been touched. Hear me. Let me surprise you. Somebody on the left, see where those women are standing. Three of them. One, two, three. Somebody close to you there have been healed of a heart condition. That's what God is telling me. Where those three women are standing? Is there anybody there with a heart challenge? With a heart? You are having a pain on the heart? Something has to... Mama, you are the one? Come, check. You have been healed. Come. Somebody has been touched. Hear me. I'm showing you, God is already healing people. I can tell you where things are happening. I can tell you somewhere here, I'm seeing a sister with issue of blood. Menstrual cycle. Something wrong with your menstrual cycle. God is telling me to stop somebody around here. A menstrual condition. Is there anybody like that? In the name of Jesus, wait. Is there anybody around here? There's a menstrual condition. Something with your cycle. God is telling me somebody has been healed. You are the one? Check it. Go there. Check. Discover God has touched you. Somebody give the Lord a shout. There's somebody here. One, two, three, four. In front here. You have a problem, you can't lift your arm. Like lifting your arm like this. From what I see in the vision, I don't know if it's something like a boil or something. But you can't lift your hand. Is there somebody like that here? You couldn't lift. Lift that arm and see. It's not so far, but it's here. Is there anybody like that? Sister, come. Lift your arm, you are healed. Somebody else, check. You couldn't lift your arm, sir. You are the one. Come. Mama, you have been healed. Check it. Check it. Check it. Check it. Iyakalakale! Ah! Iyakalakale! 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 One, two, three, four. Now, check your bodies. Check your bodies. If we operate word of knowledge, you'll be here till tomorrow. If you check, a pain has left you. A tumor has gone. Your ear can hear. Your eyes can see. Something has happened. Wherever you are, can you wave your right hand? You have noticed the healing. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Somebody show! Somebody show! Wave your hands if you have noticed the healing already. Let me see your hand now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wait, not everybody. If you have noticed a healing already, can I see those hands again? You have noticed a healing. The first 10 people that will run here, I will shake them and take their testimony. Wherever you are standing, you have noticed a healing. Run here and celebrate. Jehovah reigns. Jehovah reigns. Jehovah reigns. One, two, three, four. Now hear this. Check your bodies. If you have noticed a change, the Lord is telling me He's healing people with intestine challenge. There are organs in the stomach. God is telling me intestinal challenges, tumors of all sorts are living, even fibroids. Check your body now. Check your body now. Check. God has touched you. Just stand. If you have noticed a healing, come forward and dance to the shame of the devil. This is just the second day. Imagine what God will do tomorrow. Get me a microphone. We'll just take three or four of them. What happened to Hazza?
Sir, she has been having migraine headache for 10 good years.
10 years.
But right here in this service, she has been healed.
It is gone forever by the power of the Holy Ghost. Talk to me, sir. What happened to Mama? Get a microphone.
This mama has been suffering from spinal cord pain.
Spinal?
That have lasted for 1 year.
What couldn't she do before?
It was so severe that she couldn't bend down.
Mama, you couldn't bend? Come up here, please. Come up. Come up, Mama. Come up. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Mama, you had a spinal challenge for over 10 years?
Yes.
What couldn't you do before? You couldn't bend like this before. And you are doing that now. Bend, Mama. And you are just looking like that. Somebody show!
This is the lady that was having menstrual flow that you just prayed for.
You had a menstrual challenge? What was the problem?
I was having excess flow.
Excess flow? For how long?
It started yesterday.
Now, what happened now?
I am healed.
Has it stopped?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Lord,
have you checked?
Yes.
And you are just looking like that? Yes. Give the Lord a show!
Oh, yeah, the man man left with the rain. Aha! Jesus,
what happened, sir?
Sir, there are many miracles here.
Come up, my sister.
Come.
What happened to her?
This sister came with a hole on her chest.
A hole? Was it clinically diagnosed?
Yes, yes.
By a doctor?
Yes.
And they told you you had a hole in your chest?
Yes.
So what was the challenge you were having on account of that hole?
And I found I was jumping through the
You
prayer.
Couldn't jump before?
Yes, I was just jumping.
And so after you prayed, she vomited severely at the back.
You vomited?
And the pain she came with left
That
arm.
Thing that was buried in you came out. Now run that way. Do what you couldn't do before. She's drunk. The anointing has come upon her. So now you are not just healed. Go and heal others. In the name of Jesus. Talk to me. Two more. We are out of here.
She has been having fibroid growth for 18 years.
Fibroid growth. Was it clinically diagnosed?
Yes.
By a doctor?
Yes.
That you had fibroids?
Yes.
Could you feel the growth?
No.
No, before now. Could you feel it?
Yes. Yes.
And you had pain or something?
Yes. It was not as it was yes.
It was bloated.
Yes.
And you could feel your stomach bloated.
Yeah.
Now what happened?
As the ministry was going on, I felt the touch and everything was just down.
The stomach went down.
Yes.
And the growth has vanished. Can you still feel the pain? Jineke idima. Jineke idima. Jineke idima. Jineke idima. Jineke idima. Talk to me.
Sir, you need to hear this.
Talk to me.
This young man had a boil on his private part.
You had a boil on your private part.
He has defied all medication since October last year.
You were being treated since October? How big was the boil? Dotted boils. So what was the challenge you were having because of those boils? It was scratching. Did you feel pain as well? But it was just scratching. And you were undergoing treatment since October. What happened now? You checked the place. Every boy has vanished. Every boy has vanished.
You did you want to you turned my life around. Let me a brand new song. You did you want
to I'll take just two more and we are gone.
This is wisdom. He has been having heart condition for 5 years.
Heart
condition.
What did the doctor say?
I went to different hospital to take a different drug. They said that I have severe heart problem and the only thing I can do about it is to do operation. I said no, it's not possible.
Did they call it a name or you can't remember what they said?
They call it a name. Just told me that I have severe heart problem.
And it's been there for 5 years?
Yes.
What were you feeling?
I can't even talk for you to hear me. And
you
talk. Yes, if I'm walking, I'll be breathing so
and it's been there for 5 years.
Yes.
What happened now?
At least the way I was lying down here praying, I just killed something.
Somebody give the Lord a shout!
Miracle! No desire, Jesus! Oh. Bless the person, no desire, Jesus! Oh. You don't know what it's going to be, then you know what it is. Miracle, no desire, Jesus!
Talk to me. What happened to her?
She had a dream over a year ago.
Yes.
That somebody was pressing her. Her
somebody
right
was
breast.
Pressing you.
So she woke up and noticed growth on her right breast.
There was a growth in your right breast.
When I touched it, I'll be feeling pain.
How big was the growth?
I can't describe, but it was big. It was big, different from this other one here.
Oh, there was one on the left and one on the right.
No, like this other one, it's kind of big, a lump there, but it's different from here.
Okay, okay. So there was a growth here?
Yes.
And it was big?
Yes.
And it caused you pain?
Yes, and itching.
And itching?
Yes.
For how long?
Like 1 year, 6 months.
1 year, 6 months, she had a lump in her breast, causing pain and itching. Imagine the embarrassment for the young lady.
I was sitting down there. I was still feeling
you were feeling it while you were seated.
Yes.
What happened now?
It's free. I feel like
miracle, no desire, Jesus.
Let me know the no desire, Jesus. You don't do one before you see that you have again. Miracle, no desire, Jesus. Miracle, no desire, Jesus.
Give the Lord the time, sister. Celebrate your healing. It's permanent in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
What happened to Mama?
This brother, sir.
Okay, talk to me. What happened to him?
He didn't come to this crusade. He was just passing by.
You were passing.
Yes,
and this is the type I like hearing. Now, hear this. Somebody was passing. God touched him. Is it you that have been sitting here that will not be touched? I decree and declare, everything you require from God, carry it now. Carry it now. In the name of Jesus. What happened?
He was supposed to travel to make a trip. But the severe pain he was suffering at the back. After the fasting yesterday, I broke my fast. I went home, I could not sleep. The back pain was so severe. My wife told me, let me give you medication. She's the nurse.
I told her, no, I cannot be fasting and have this thing.
That's right.
I went to my friend to Ogoni. I could not drive. He drove all through. I just dropped him off at this NTA road. I was coming back struggling with the pain. I heard your voice. I passed my car across. And I stepped in. I said, God, thank you.
That has to be the voice of the Holy Ghost. Somebody give the Lord a shout.
Wait
a minute. You're parked on the other side of the road.
Yes, sir.
What now happened?
While we were praying, you mentioned somebody with you mentioned a case of spinal cord. I checked myself. I bent down. The pain has disappeared.
Lift your hands toward heaven. When we walk with the Lord, in the light of His word, what a glory He does on our way. What we do is good with He abides with us still, and to all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey.
The Lord is telling me, everybody who is a victim of household wickedness, your destiny has been tied down for years. He said there is judgment tonight. Every devilish priest servicing an altar for you not to rise, God responds tonight by fire. And every shackle holding you down, it breaks now in the name of Jesus. What happened to Mama?
She said on the 28th of December, her head started burning to the extent that she had to go and cut her hair. But right in this service, the hotness has ceased.
It's gone.
We can't take the testimonies. We are out of time. How many of you here were healed of an ear condition? Ear. You had a challenge with your ear. This little one. Mama, you too. And you too. You had a problem with your ear. Can I see those hands? Ear. Come. All of you healed of ear condition. Come. You couldn't hear, you had a pain, something with your ear. Go to the altar there. 1, 2, 3. Come on. 4. Brother, come. 5, 6. These are people healed of ear. Sometimes you can't take it one by one. You'll take it in group. Come on, brother. Ear condition. Wow. How many of you were healed of eye condition? Eyes. Eyes. 1, 2. Can I see those hands better? I'm seeing one, I'm sure of here. Eye condition. How many of you had a growth, a tumor? From fibroid to a lump in the breast, it has vanished. A growth. You had a tumor. Oh, you had eye. We had two people with eye. How many of you had tumors? Fibroid growth, tumor. You had a tumor? Mama, you had a tumor? You had fibroid and it's gone. You can't feel it anymore. That fibroid growth. Tumors are living people. Lift your hands toward heaven. Listen. The Bible says, ask of him rain in the time of the latter rain. It says he will cause bright cloud and there shall be dew for every blade of grass. Every. In the last days, God does not visit some and leave others. It's when the day of Pentecost was fully come, he said the fire fell and it rested on the head of everyone. Lift your hand and insist on yourself. Say, Lord, I'm not living here without an encounter. 1 minute. Pray that prayer.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just said this prayer, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.